my life, man. Catch it whether I don't, catch it whether I do. So it really don't matter. Same.
You have windows of opportunity for stuff in life, and when those windows are gone, you know, they're not, I mean, they're gone. And I realized something today. I had my friend in the States, you remember that friend in New Mexico, he's been broadcasting for 6 years. He had tons of audience. I don't know anybody that ever did as much information in the amount of time that he did. He would some days put up 4 hours of broadcast a day, and
just music?
Or no, just that? I mean, between his messages. His talks, messages, all that stuff. And he pulled his site like a couple of weeks ago. He just put a blank page, and then and he just put like a big television screen with, like, you know, it's like with the soccer balls all over it, like, you know. And then I think he didn't renew his URL. So now it's completely gone. Because now, like, you know, one of those things bought up the URLs of somebody else. You know, that happens with online. If you don't renew your URL, you know, somebody will... No, but it's on purpose. Because the thing is, for him, too, is he's like, look, I'm not a television channel that you can just flip around, you know, whenever. I mean, it's like God put him out there for a season of time to do something. And now that season's done. And it's like, and so it's done. Yeah, and so it's like, you know what happens is, I think too, what happens though many times with, is that, okay, with life, you have an opportunity to be a child. You don't stay a child. You know, you grow up, you go to the next phase. And it's like, and with each phase, you have, there's a maximum way to live every season of life. There's a maximum way in God's plan and purpose to be a child, to be a young adult, to be a married couple, to, you know, in every season there is God's, there's a way that you can maximize that season of life His way. There's a way to maximize being single. There's a way to maximize, I mean, it's like each one of those things has a purpose in it too. And When you walk with the Father, one thing that happens is then you learn, okay, here is the way to maximize and fulfill this stage, so that when the time comes for you to move to the next one, okay, when the time comes for you to move to the next one, you're ready to move to that. You've fulfilled it. You've completed it. And then you're ready to move on. So like Jesus had three very distinct seasons in his life. Childhood, adolescence, and his adult life ministry. 0 to 12, 12 to 30, he was an adolescent until he was 30, and then he began his ministry when he was, for 3.5 years. Yeah, Jesus was actually fulfilling and moving into and shifting into the fulfillment of God's of God's plan and purpose for why he put him in the earth. But those preceding seasons were all necessary as well. The things that came before were essential as well in part of the plan and process of God for him to go through what it was to be a child and to grow up and going to the synagogues and to work alongside his father, his dad, his earthly dad, while he was in the earth, to, you know, experience, you know, probably a lot of hardships too. I mean, mom looked like she had a 6-month pregnancy, and, you know, just like, I mean, the stigmas, whatever. I mean, all kinds of stuff that would have come his way, you know, just as, I mean, think about all the temptations and stuff like that as well. You know, I mean, he had to go through all of those things. He had to discover himself in the Word. The same Jesus that he had to know what the book of Isaiah said about him and God's plan and purpose for him. He had to come to a resolution of, you know, of the later parts in Isaiah. You know, once you start getting up in the 50s of Isaiah, when it starts talking about God's will was to crush his own son. And then it's like, okay, wait a second. So God's plan for me is
that I die.
That I do this, that I die. I mean, so the same, you know, one that read, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you know, to preach good news and all of that. It's like, okay, it's also God's will to crush me, and it's also God's will that my life be poured out as a ransom for many. And he had to come through all of those things. And yeah. So it's like, but in his, in that path, he also is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one that came, you know, he's the first one, he is the propitiation for us, and he's the one that pays the price for it, so that now we have the way made. And many of us, if you walk with him, he'll take you through a similar path with very similar seasons like he did, like he had. You know, and then you start looking back and you start seeing, okay, other people that walk with God. So you look at Paul, you look at Peter, you look at the disciples, you look at anybody that went into a little bit more detail about their life, and you're like, whoa, these guys went through, well, one, they went through some serious stuff. They went through a lot of hardships, but then they also had similar seasons as well that God took them through for the purpose of preparing them and also revealing himself in them. So Christ in you, the hope of glory, what he does is he begins to cut away at the other things that are not him and reveal who his nature and his life and his character and who he is, the fruit of the Spirit in you. But you, that happens as you continue down that track. A friend of mine, we were talking about this with Michelangelo, when he carved the David, you know, which is one of the classic works of all time. And the people said, my goodness, you know, what an amazing statue that you made. And he said, you know, and he said, no, they said, how did you do it? You know, and he said, well, and they were referring to the and he just said, look, the when I saw the rock, the statue was always there. It was inside there. I just had to, all I did was just, I just chipped away the pieces that were, and it's like, that's what God does with us too, is that he's, it's already in there. It's just, he just starts chipping away the pieces as we walk with him. And actually, a lot of things that happen to us in life will, this is again, all things work together for the good of those that love God, agape God, that are called according to his purpose. He uses those things in our life to actually, he turns it around and actually uses it in a way that glorifies him and that reveals his character and nature in us as we go through them his way. So as difficult as it can be sometimes, as painful as it can be sometimes, to seek to walk in a world that hates you because you follow him, and all of the spiritual oppression that comes against us, still in that God is glorified. What we do pleases the Father. He does it through us, and we just make ourselves available unto that purpose. So it's a different track that we're on, and but it's the path of life, it is the path of truth, and it is the only other way. Because there are two ways. There's the way of the world, and there's the way of the Father. There's Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So he's the only way out. So we've talked about two kingdoms, we've talked about, I mean, that's basically it. Now, the diversification that the world does is it takes the system of the world and gives you so many different faces, so you think you have all these different options, but it's still, again, the same thing. The same devil is behind all of them, every manifestation of it, and it's to keep you occupied as well, bouncing around. So it's like you bounce from one to the next, and you keep coming up against the same brick wall. And it's also all designed to keep you away from Jesus, from truth, or to give you a counterfeit Jesus. How many people have experienced a counterfeit Jesus? And so they think, okay, that's not it. And then they go on and then they bounce around. And they're like, they don't even want to, because they were so deceived, they didn't even want to go back there again, thinking that somebody that was ministering in God's name, that wasn't a servant of God, was actually a representation for him. And then the result of it being that, like, okay, well, I don't want to have anything to do with God. You see what I mean? So it's like, even that's a setup for people. Now, if somebody is genuinely in their heart seeking truth, because God is truth, Jesus is the truth, they will find Christ. If somebody genuinely in their heart wants to know what's really going on, they will encounter Jesus. And God does that drawing because no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So God draws them to Him. He brings them to Him. He orchestrates the circumstances and the situation so that at an opportune time, those that are His are... their eyes are open and they can actually see God's love and God's care for them, and He intervenes in their life and gives them the opportunity to have a choice, to have another way, to choose something different for themselves. Okay, so let's look at some examples of this, because we've been in a series and the title of this one has been A Vision of Life. Now, this is part 4. Maybe we'll finish up tonight. We'll see. Hopefully. Possibly. and now a little bit more on the life level, the personal level. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And I made one mistake tonight. Forgive me for it. I didn't pre-mark, so I'll be flipping a lot as much as you guys. Won't be as quick. Acts chapter 9. Do you want to come this side? Then you can see.
Okay.
Alright, yeah, there you go. Alright, perfect. Okay. Acts chapter 9 and verse 4 says, and he fell, speaking of Paul, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed, with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many evils of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hast sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Okay. Let's flip to one more and then we'll reference the book. Acts 26. Acts 26 and verse 14. Now this is, again, Paul referring to the same experience. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay. Right. Okay, when it comes to the lives that we live in the earth, we have to bring this down to practical. There are two visions for your life. The world has a vision for your life, and God has a vision for your life. The world has a plan and purpose for you, God has a plan and purpose for you. The kingdom of darkness has a will for you, God has a will for you. And they are mutually exclusive, they are diametrically opposed to each other, and you will find either one of those on the path that you choose. So if you choose the way of the world, you will fulfill the vision of the world. If you choose the way of the Father, you will be on that path, and that'll be the thing that begins to come to pass. So Paul, Saul at the time, the world's vision for him was for him to be a religious leader. And he was very, very good at what he did. He had the pedigree. The scriptures go through that. He had the background. He had the lineage, which was important during that time. He had everything in order for him to be this particular, basically a religious leader at the time. Now, God's plan for him was for him to be a servant of truth. And you see, when there was an intervention that took place by the Spirit of God into his life, and the resulting outcome of it when he chose now to go with what the truth was when it was revealed unto him. So what happens with the world is the world will offer. Now, it'll offer people in exchange, the free will exchange of your soul, something in the world. And so you do make a decision for that. There's an initiation that takes place in the world to pass you through to that side. And so what happens is that with so many people, when they cross over, what they end up doing is they end up continuing to build the system of the world, a better and better mousetrap to keep everybody here, to ensnare the souls of the next generation. So you look at the world and the world system today. Look at how much more sophisticated it is, even during the last 20 years. We're all well aware of what's kind of taken place over the last 20 years. There was no internet 20 years ago, was there? Militarily there was. It existed for... The internet, by the way, was a military invention. It was created for the purpose of in case there was some type of attack that took out a central location, that information could be rerouted so that there was no information loss, and the information could continue to go on even with the loss of a key military installation. So many things that come into civilian life have military and worldly backgrounds and motivations. And look at now, within 20 years, how interconnected, how dependent, how at an increasing rate. So give it another 5 years and see where things are at. I mean, it's already getting very close to people. I mean, there's places in Europe where everything's digital. I mean, where you buy and sell everything. You know, just like nobody carries cash. States is becoming, I mean, it's like so fast, this progression taking place. So what happens when people cross over into the world is they end up building the system of the world. And because of their spiritual alliance, because of their spiritual allegiance, and their opening up of their souls to the world in exchange for provision, in exchange for safety, in exchange for to be something in the world, what happens is now the spiritual forces that access their lives now use them to build the beehive. So like a bunch of drones, they're all running around doing their part, and they don't realize that the piece that they play is on a larger scale building the massive beehive of the world that seeks to keep everybody and ensnare the souls of everybody possible. So the world's vision and plan for you is for you to be a good drone, for you to to get in there and to give your labor, your talents, your abilities, your skills, all of that to building the system of the world. Now what God does is he, on a rescue mission, pulls out those that are his. And he, with a strong hand, liberates those that are his and provides for, takes care of, watches over, protects amidst an entire system that would crush them in a second if it possibly could get to them if he did not protect them. So if they could get to you, they would. If they could reach you and God would remove his protection from you, they would take you out in a second. But we continue to exist like a flower growing up between the concrete. It's like a mystery how we're even there, but we are. We exist. So Paul, in these two things, Saul. First of all, yeah, the world called him Saul. God renamed him. And God changes again even our name in the dimension of spirit. You know, he gives us a new identity that we get in Christ. So when everybody's born, and when everybody's born into this world, we're born under the power of darkness. So we're born as slaves to the world and the world system. We're born as people that are we're captivated by the world, by the things of the world. The spirit is dead. The soul, you're operating in your soul, and your flesh is unless you have some discipline around you, some structure around you, your flesh will go rampant. You know, I mean, give a kid, you know, 50 colas and see what they do with it. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, put 20 bags of potato chips in front of them and leave them for the weekend. They'll eat the whole thing because there's no restraint. That's why it's like your flesh left to in and of itself will do you in very quickly. So we're born, spirit is dead, the soul is the one that's kind of governing your choices and decisions, and your soul has been trained and conditioned by the world from as quickly, as early on as possible, to be a good worlder, and your flesh is geared towards gratification in the world. And then with all of this too, you is surrounded by a satanic hierarchy in a spiritual realm that is kind of managing the farm, this big earth farm of souls that it's gathering, and is doing everything it can to want to try to invade you physically, to get into your body, to access your soul, so that they can use your body as a means to carry out their will in the world. And so, and then in the meantime, to destroy you and to use you to destroy others. So, oh yeah, welcome to the world. But I mean, it's like, so that's what you're born into. And that's, and so like, too, when you see a lot of people that are considered the great men or women of the world, they're not even there anymore. The real person has been gone for a long time. And there's demonic powers that now are the ones working in their minds, in their souls, that have access to them. And because they have been given by the free will of that person, when that person could make a decision, full access, what happens now is, so then the demonic force comes in, they're now using that, the car, the body, the car, they've taken the other soul, you know, scalped it, put it on the side, and now, so now when that person gets wealth and all of that stuff, you know, it's because a demon is accessing it and using it. So they're, on a spiritual level, that's, this whole thing is going on. So, and again, too, it's part of the reason why as well, the world and the system of the world will work very hard to keep a child of God, one of His, from ever being in any kind of position where you could make an impact, where you could affect change, where you could, so you won't see, it's an absolute Daniel case, some miraculous intervention of God, if you would see somebody that is truly His in a position of influence and power in the world, in the world system. But that's the far exception, that's not the rule. And even when they're there, everybody's trying to kill them. So the lion's den for Daniel, the prison for Joseph, the fiery furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's like, even if they get in that position, everybody wants to get rid of them. So, if the world hates you, Jesus said, keep in mind that it hated me first. It's cool. They're doing what they're supposed to do, though, too. That's their job. But we also have a role and a responsibility and a job here as well. God puts us in the world for a purpose, a season, a time, and a reason that has to do with His plan and purpose, what He's carrying out, the mystery that He's revealing at this time. Okay, so, so there are two visions for your life. Both of them will access your talents, will access your skills, will access your abilities, will access your traits, will access your personalities. Both of them will take full use and measure of who you are. But the world will, again,
kill you in the process.
Yeah, kill you in the process, and also suck you dry. See, it's not like the way the world works, it's not just, let me give you this, let me just, you know, take good care of you now, and oops, I got you. It's this, no, you will be, it'll work you. You know, I mean, do you ever notice how all these old rockers are still out there trying to be on the stage? And it's like, I mean, you might as well give them walking sticks and canes, because, I mean, like, but because, too, if they stop, they're dead. They can't stop. They have to keep going. They have to keep pushing the very system that they've sold themselves to.
Just giving them a false security system.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like they can spend the cash they have. You know, it's not like they... There's no... They have to keep doing it. They have to, now that they've sold themselves into that system, they have to keep pushing it. They have to... Now they have to pay the piper, as it were. If they would humble themselves and turn to the Father, if they would turn to Christ, He would set them free. He would, but it would also require them being cut off from that system, the very system that they've been pushing for the last 3 decades. And it would also probably result in the cutting off of their family and everybody else that they cared about and loved in their own backward way, which for them, that's what they feared. They don't want their children to be cut off.
They don't want to go through used to a different lifestyle, and they're not going to minimize that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you know, people used to say, like, they would be like, oh, can you, if such and such celebrity just came to Christ, you know, what an impact they would make and stuff. And if you ever saw, you know, when, like, any of these guys truly came to Christ, very quickly they would get moved off the stage.
Yeah.
You know, they don't stick around after they get there. It's like they're not given the opportunity to truly witness the truth. Or everybody jumps on them and tries to get them to promote their whatever it is that they're doing. So it's because again, too, you have the religious system of the world that's
there. Are artists who are still at their pinnacle, who are still, you know, witnesses for Christ.
Yeah, well, God sustains, and He does again, too. The wheat and the tares do grow together.
Role models.
I mean, there is the wheat and the tares that do grow together. I mean, that's again one of these bizarre things of where, like Daniel, you will see him sustain somebody in a particular position or place, and that's a miraculous intervention to keep them there. But, you know, on the natural thinking, it's not going to work like, oh, okay, if we can just get such and such to do this and that. It's like, it's God. You know, He draws, He calls, He equips, and He then gives you the direction for you. Gives you the direction for you. Gives me the direction for me. But it comes from Him. So even when Paul was talking about how he began his ministry, he said, look, I got this doctrine from God. You know, God's the one that taught me this stuff. And he had to go back for 3 years in the backside of the desert and get his brain rewired because everything that he thought was not right. But he had an experience with God. He had a vision of Christ Jesus where he realized, where he said, look, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Basically, like, brother, you're not going to win. You know, you can't win this one. And he realized, and he's like, who are you, Lord? He's like, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. It's like, you know, the guy that you are coming after, I'm actually God. You're on the wrong side of the fence. You know, you're, and it's just like, whoa. I mean, like, imagine if everything that you believed was not true. If everything that you based your life on turned out to be a lie. You know, imagine if your family wasn't really your family. Or you were born in another country and you just found out, wait a second, you're a citizen of some other place. Or, I mean, just imagine, like, how many things, all of a sudden it's like, these are just small stuff. For him, the very core of who he was and everything he had been trained to do was shook. And he was like, wait a second, you mean my life is absolutely backwards? And I'm on the wrong side of this thing? And then, but a true child of God will seek to embrace that reality. Will seek to say, okay, whatever the truth is, I want to know. Whatever the truth is, I want to get on the page for that. Whatever it is, I want to be a big boy, I want to be a big girl. Let's deal with this thing. And then let's go through it with God. And so if somebody's on the path of truth, God finds a way to make that truth known to them. He finds a way to get the truth to them. Even if he's got to get it through sensors and through just screens and security and corrupt governments and all of this stuff, he'll still find a way to get you what you need. If he's got to speak to you in your dreams, he'll come to you in your dream. And whatever it is, he will reach you with the truth. He'll send somebody from you know, two states away or two countries away or something, just to get something to you that you need if you are truly seeking a father. Okay, so another thing, both visions that are available involve slavery. You're either a slave to the world or you're a slave to righteousness. You're either a slave to God or you're a slave to your passions and your desires. You either belong to the, so you know, it's like, and most people are like, oh, I'm not a slave, but you know, look at it. You know, I mean, either you're in one or the other. Now the thing is, God is a good master. You know, and being a slave is not a bad thing when you're in His, because He binds you into freedom. So to be a slave to righteousness, to be a slave to truth, to be a slave to the Father, is actually to be in true freedom. Whereas to be a slave to the world, the only thing that you do is enslave others, and you're a slave to death. Your death and the death of everybody else that's around you. Okay. So again, the world has a plan for you, God has a plan for you. The world has so like for Paul, the world's plan for him was for him to be a tremendous religious leader. God's plan for him was to be a servant of truth. For Peter, the world's plan for him was to be a fisherman. And Jesus' plan for him was to be a fisher of men. You know, and he called him out. Now, when you said Daniel was supposed to be just a basic advisor to the king. You know, again, going to use your talents, abilities, skills. Daniel, you're 16 years old, smart guy, good-looking guy. You got a lot of things going for you. Okay, we're going to train you for 3 years. We're going to set you up, and here's, you know, everything that you need. But God said, no, I've got something more for you. I'm going to allow you to be in this position, but because your heart is seeking to, in spite of your circumstance, to stay clean before me, and to you're choosing to not defile yourself with the world, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to also create an opportunity for you through this for you to be a powerful witness for me as well. Daniel lived through 4 kings. You know, all these guys came and went. Daniel's still there. And God spoke to Daniel. God gave Daniel visions of even the time that we're living in right now. Showed him stuff that just spoke to him. Gave him, I mean, just, it's like he had an amazing plan for his life. But it began with Daniel at 16 saying, okay, I'm in a bad circumstance. I'm in a bad situation. I've been taken captive, been separated from my home, my land, the people that I care about and that I love, and I'm put in this situation here. And all right, well, a lot of things I can't control in this situation, but one thing that I can do is, in my heart, I can make a decision, as much as it's up to me, that God, I will not bow my heart to this idolatrous nation that I've now been put into. I won't surrender and give my will over to that. I will, as much as it is up to me, seek to remain undefiled by this world, and you help me. And God did. Him and 3 friends. A lot of guys went there. You don't hear them talk. The scriptures don't talk about the rest of them, because they got indoctrinated again into the world. They became part and parcel of that system. They probably were okay advisors in some of the stuff that they did. But that was just it. They played their role in the world lived, died, went on after eternity, into eternity, in the path that they were already going. See, that's another thing too. When you choose a path, when a person dies, they just continue to go spiritually in the direction that they chose during their life. So when people are like, you know, how can God send people to hell? That's the direction you chose, and you're already going that direction while you're here. If you choose the way up and out, which is in Christ, you're moving in that direction spiritually when your life is over, and you continue in that. It's just, death is like a hiccup. You're just absent from the body, but the soul and the spirit move in the direction of the choice. So, so, okay. And here's something too. Okay, John 15. Since we already mentioned this one, John 15.
Okay. It's about how God uses the foolish to stun the wise.
Yeah.
And according to God, according to the world, they consider us fools, but then he contracts the whole.
Yeah. We make absolutely no sense to the world. Because, again, it makes no sense to the world why you wouldn't take the initiation, why you would not choose to be part of their system, why you wouldn't choose to do things their way. I mean, how many times in my own life people have just been like, Govinda, what are you doing? Or you're squandering your talents, or you're not doing this, you're not doing... I'm like, look, for one, it's like, thank you for your concern. You know, a lot of people will want to save your life. Just like with Peter, when Jesus said, look, you know, the Son of Man's going to be crucified, I'm going to get killed, all these things are going to happen to me.
And Peter's saying, yeah,
and Peter's like meaning well, but still carnally minded, stands there and says, God, you know, say it's not so, say this is never going to happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, you have your mind on the things of men and not on the things of God. See, the world, when you start to follow Christ, when you actually lose your life in this world to find true life in Him, when you surrender yourself to God's plan and purpose for you, that also involves, on a spiritual level for sure, which could easily manifest itself in the natural, a giving up of everything of who you are in this world. You literally die to this world. And in that, then you receive from the hand of the Father His plan, His purpose, His will, His way for you. So it's a death in everything except the fact that you stop breathing. But the world will continue to look at you and say, wait a second, you know, don't you know if you just played ball, you could be something here? Because you make no sense. You're outside of their system, and they do want to tap you, they do want to access your soul, but they also need you to make a free will decision to also give it up. So what they'll do is they will, again, they'll tempt you, they will box you in, they will make it very hard for you to find work, make it very hard for you to do this, to do that, to limit opportunities, to they'll scam you, all of those things. But even with that too, God is also allowing for those things to happen as well, because in that He's also allowing for you to see, if you trust Him, His provision, His care, and your dependence again on Him to walk through the minefield of this world, to walk through the minefield of this life. So, John 15, verse 16, Jesus talking, says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. They can't cover their sin now. So it's revealed, it's exposed, it's been brought into the light. The world hates the light, and they hate the bearers of truth that have the light in them, because our very existence and Christ shining through you exposes, reveals, uncovers, and shows it the whole system for what it is. The big filthy kitchen with all the cockroaches running around, when the light is switched on, it's like, oh, this is what it is. You know, this is what the world is all about. And it's like, whoa, 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 turn off the light, put the light out, you know, or kill the people that the light shines through. Or box them in, or to keep them from doing what it is that God's got in their heart to do. Because everything that they do, Jesus said, for this reason the Son of God was manifest, to destroy the works of the devil. I think 1 John 3. So it's like, the Son of God is manifest in this world, and it's manifest in our lives, because also we continue on with that ministry of Christ Jesus, destroying the works of the devil everywhere that we encounter it, and every time that it encounters us in this life. And every time that God sends us into a situation or a place, we stand as a powerful witness against this world and the kingdom of this world, and it is destroyed and melts away just by the very presence of God in us. So they do everything they can to try to keep their thing together. And in order for them to keep that thing together, that involves seeking to harm you. So, now Jesus said, you know, let me flip back here. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. No, the world hated Jesus. The world hates true Jesus. The real Jesus they hate. So the one that they embrace is not the true one. Because Jesus himself said, they hate me. So who is the real Jesus, and who is the one that they're embracing these days? There's one to think about. Because Jesus himself said, it hates me. So the Jesus that's embraced is not the real one. Now, because what you have also too, by the world, the Jesus that's embraced is not the real one. John, they're embracing all kinds of stuff that's not him. So what happens is they fashion him in their own image and in what they want him to be, and then they bow themselves to him, to that false Jesus, rather than big T, big truth, absolute truth, and allowing for the Spirit of truth to flood their life, to flood their light, to expose every aspect of who they are, and then for them to allow the Spirit of God to strengthen them, to conform their lives to His image, and to align their lives with His truth. What they do is, because they have an area in their life they refuse to let go, because they have an area of darkness they seek to keep from Him, they turn that light into, they start trying to mold God in their own image, and then they want to bow their knee now to a comfortable Jesus. Somebody that is, okay, he's just this soft, cushy, Care Bear love, you know, or he has no standard, he has no, or he's just this political creation, or he is just, you know, it's like there's no love for who he is. It's, here's a Jesus now that is palatable. So, the true Jesus is hated by this world. The true Jesus is actually hated by the vast majority of churches in this world. and most other religions in this world as well. Because if the real Jesus came in there and exposed his light, and if they wanted him there, it would reveal where their hearts are at, where the hearts of the leadership are at, where the hearts of the people are at. See, people a lot of times will blame the leadership. No, the people as well. When Paul was writing one of his letters, he said, a time will come when, and has now come, where people will surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. They won't put up with sound doctrine. So that's the time we live in now, is people will surround themselves, support those that tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. So, for example, fitness regimens. There's some things, if you really want to get into shape, you need to hear. You may not want to hear it, but you need to hear it. You know? So some things about diet, nutrition, just like healthy lifestyle plans and all, just like it's true, it would make a difference, it would make a change. It may not be something that somebody wants to hear, but it's what they need if they're really serious about taking care of their body and the body lasting a lifetime while they're here. Versus, you know, how many people are like, will surround themselves with somebody that tells them, you know, what they want to hear in that regard, but it's not helping them, if that's really what their goal is. So, okay. The world and its vision for you, and God and his vision and plan for you, are completely opposed to each other. So it's, if you fulfill God's plan and purpose, it will be in complete opposition and rebellion. It's to the world and the world system. To follow Christ is to do the most rebellious thing possible. You know, I mean, all the people go to these rock concerts and all this stuff, and they're like, you know, trying to put up the devil sign. They're just conforming. It's another form of conformity, and the guy in the three-piece suit in the boardroom is laughing his ass off because he knows that these guys are all like lemmings. They paid $60 at Ticketmaster to get their tickets to go to the show, painted themselves up, bought the CDs, bought the T-shirt on the way in. It's just another form of marketing. It's all part of the. If you want to really rebel, you follow Christ. Christ was the ultimate rebel. He was the ultimate iconoclast. He was the ultimate, just broke the entire thing. So when he stepped into the picture, those that followed him all of a sudden is like, wait, we got to do something about this guy. Let's kill him. You know, let's kill him. We got to kill him. We got to get him out of the way, because if he continues to do what he's doing, it's destroying our whole system. It's destroying everything that we're working on. It's destroying. We're going to lose our position. We're going to lose our income. We're going to lose our place. We got to get rid of this guy. That was their thinking when they were going into the whole crucifixion. And hey, it didn't matter that they were killing somebody. For God, if that's what they wanted to call it, or for themselves, whatever. To keep their system, their position, their place, they will sacrifice the blood of another man, another person. But in that, even in that process, God's purpose was being manifest. And God flipped the whole thing around. And again, God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love him, called according to his purpose. Salvation is worked out for us through Christ paying the price for us and doing all that he did there at the cross. So, okay, flip back a few pages. John 10:10. Okay. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So again, two kingdoms, two clans. The world and the world system and the thief and all that behind it has come to rob, steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all he's come for. So even when somebody gets success in the world, or some form of success in the world,
something is
off guard. It's ultimately because there will be the big robbery, the big death, the big destruction, and they're given maybe a little bit of time to run around the track a couple of times, to soak up a little limelight, to get their 15 minutes of fame, but ultimately they get knocked off. You know, the average age of a rock star is 33 years. They live 33 years before they die. Most of them die very young. Because the devil cycles them through quickly. So the next one gets moved off. So one gets moved off the stage or gets killed off, and the next one's there. You don't even, you know, it's like they get moved through so quick. And then a few of them they keep around just so that they have, they need to have a few of them around. So it's like people are like, oh, I want to aspire to be so-and-so in the world. Because can you believe the career that that person's had? The inside of all this stuff is very ugly. So, and again, the way that you climb up in the world is by being a bigger and bigger slave to the system. The more that you're willing to, again, what's it? To steal, to kill, and to destroy, the more willing you are to do that, the better candidate you are for a position in the system. So if you really want to be something in the system of the world, you will in your heart be saying, look, whatever I got to do to get that spot, you know, I will do whatever to whoever so that I can be that. Now contemplate the political situation of this country. It starts to make a bit more sense. On a spiritual level, you know, contemplate, I mean, all, so many of these things. Because again, there's so many different systems. When we talked, when we did our series on the world, how many different ways the same thing manifested itself. You know, that's a good one to go back and listen to sometimes, is that the world manifests itself in so many different ways, but it's the same thing. It's the same devil behind all of it. Okay, but Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. His plan and purpose for you will shine forth an abundant life in and through you. And he will use your life as it's surrendered to him to flow life through you for the sake of others. So his life will flow through you for other people, for the benefit of others, and for the sake of the world that needs him, so that as many as are called, that he uses you in the purpose of reaching out to them on a rescue mission as well. See, the world in the state that it's in right now, this is not a home, but the world does, the meek shall inherit the earth. This is God's earth. So he is definitely going to straighten things out in his time, in his way. But at the moment in time right now, what we're doing is we're standing strong as a witness for truth and for him. And as many as those that he is calling, we're being used by God to reach, out to them for a purpose that he has for them. So, so again, even right here in John 10:10, one is a vision of death and destruction, the other one is a vision of life. So the world has a vision of death, God's is a vision of life, abundant life. See, and that's the other thing too, the way to have abundant life in Christ Jesus is to go all the way with him. If you hold out on some area of your life, if you hold out on some piece, so you're like, God, everything but this, you will lack the life of God flowing through your entire being. And so then there'll be some area that's gnawing away. There'll be something just like, the way to experience, he said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You get life when Christ comes in. Abundant life comes when he's totally in control, totally calling the shots, completely surrendered unto him. That's when you can experience from that place of 100% surrender now the full life of Christ coming through you. Because now you're not holding anything. It's really him. Him through you. Okay. Let's see. So again, you know, everybody that's born into the world though is born as a slave to the system. And we all must be brought out. So Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So nobody, you know, is no, I mean, so it's like everybody messed up from a perfect standard. So there's not a person in the kingdom of God, you know, that can say, oh, okay, well, I did it. No, Jesus made the way for us. Every one of us is a sinner saved by grace. Every one of us is somebody that, had he not intervened, would have been on a greased pole to hell. You know, just fast. And so, okay. Now, back to Acts 9. Okay. Now, with Paul, you know, God speaking to him just said, all right, look, go to Damascus, and there you're going to be shown. All right. He says in verse 6, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, many times with God revealing his will, his plan, his vision for your life, it'll be very simple instructions for a little bit of time. So for here, look, go into the city, and then I'm going to show you something. Remember last time we talked, it's like, sit here and pray. Pray that you don't fall into temptation. Could you not pray for 1 hour? In Acts chapter 1, go to Jerusalem and wait. You know, so these are not rocket science instructions. You know, it's like, I mean, so often we want this blueprint, and God gives you a map and a compass. It's like, all right, God, what's your will and plan for my life? And I just need to know everything. And it's like, no. It's like, God just says, look, sit and pray. Go here and wait for a little bit. And it can be just that simple. And think about it. If Paul didn't go into the city when God told him to, he would have gone back home to Jerusalem, a blind, confused guy, because Ananias was waiting for Paul by God's will and design for him in that city. So he had to go into the city, sit and wait for 3 days, no food, no water, and let his mind be scrambled for some time. And then God then sends somebody else who knew his voice, knew when God was speaking to him, was able to know that, okay, God's about to send me to a killer that probably would arrest me and throw me in jail. Because he knew this guy. You know, he knew of this guy. He knew this guy came to the very city to get him, to throw him into jail. And God's saying, look, I want you to go to that guy's house. So that's like, I mean, you know, it's like, oh, Prabhakaran is, you know, just down the road. I want you to go over and take him a plate of cookies. I mean, it's like, wait a second. This doesn't sound like the smartest thing in the world, God. Are you sure? Okay. I mean, but Ananias knew the voice of God. So here, few small steps, and look at the repercussions of it. I mean, you have the formation, and somebody that did so much to build the early church, but it involved just some very simple key steps being taken in obedience to God. And so that's why too, with Jesus, when he said, look, and even all the way, it's through consistent throughout the Bible, obedience is better than sacrifice. God's not looking for he's not looking for, you know, what you can do for him. He's looking for, will you obey? The results are in his hands. So this is something I've let myself off the hook in this way. If I can just obey the voice of the Spirit when he instructs me, when he leads and guides me, that's it. The results are purely his. And I can't see the big picture. I can see part of it. I can only see what he reveals and shows to me. But the results really are in his hands. So all I have to do is obey and leave the repercussions and the consequences, good or bad, but good if you're walking with Spirit. Because again, what did Jesus came to do? To give life and give it more abundantly. So it's like, I know that that'll be in step with him. That'll have the results and the ramifications that he wants it to have. Okay, so again, how is God's plan revealed? You know, because so many people are always asking, you know, okay, God, you know, what's your plan for me? What's your plan for my life? Okay, should we stop there? Should we tell a little more? Okay, we'll go for a little bit more. Psalm, you're like, no, I want to know. Psalm 119. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, you know, I think God gave such a long psalm so that there's so much good stuff in Psalm 119. But like for people that just kind of flip through the Bible and say, oh, okay, I want to read a psalm, and they go to like 117. Or like, you know, just like they go to something really short, so they're like, okay, I just read something for the day. And a lot of people don't even read this psalm because it's just long. But there's so much good stuff in here. All right. And there's so much good stuff in all the psalms, but it's like, you know, they just will reread something really small and they missed like a... Right. Thy word, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay. The word of God, all right, is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Have you ever been camping before? Yeah? No? Never?
No.
You camped before? Gosh, non-campers. Okay. Have you ever used a lamp before? Okay. If you use a lamp, do you see everything that's off 2 kilometers in the distance?
It's just right down the lamp.
You just see the next few steps that you need to take in front of you. And God, His Word. Oh wait, the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's double-edged. So the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Word of God, which is also encapsulated in the Spirit of God, God's Word and His Spirit will reveal unto you the next few steps that you need to take. And you don't need it. Yeah, okay. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, you know, offensive weapons that we, the offensive weapon we have in our life is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, okay, see, the Bible also interconnects. This is something as you read and as you study, God will bring out scriptures to you. He'll reveal and show more to you as you're walking with Him. So, there's an interconnected nature of the scriptures. So, like, for example, you see this bridges then with something else. And He'll show you that. That's the difference between reading with the Spirit of God and somebody reading it from a soul mind, from a natural mind. They won't catch any of this stuff. Okay. His word is a light unto a feet and a lamp. Oh, His word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So His Spirit and His word will give you the next few steps that you need to take. And that's all you need. See, that's just it. That's all you need. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, God has in my own life, and sometimes, given me like a lightning flash, you know, way off in the distance. It's like, and I've seen some stuff that's like, okay, wow, okay, that is part of some of the things that are on the way, part of this journey, part of His plan and purpose. But I don't know everything that's going up into that. I just have seen some stuff, because again, God, by His Spirit, knowing all things and all of the stuff that we're walking through, it's already done. and we're acting out the play that God has for us to go through. We're playing the role in the movie that we're supposed to, but we have yet to. But it's like right now, for what you need this day, He will show it to you by His Spirit, and He will reveal it to you in His Word, and go with what He shows you this day. So it's like, sufficient for today is the evil thereof. You don't have to worry about tomorrow, because He's got it already. And in fact, so much of what the world does is to seek to get you either wrapped up in your past or stressing about the future, and to get you out of the present, which is God as I am. And right now, at this moment, right now, this is what you have. God is right now. He is right here, right now. He is eternal. Eternal, there is no time. So to get you out of being here now, as that one of my dad's statements to me was like, you know, Govinda, be here now. You know, it's like, it's simple. It's just be here now. Be where you are right now. Be here in the moment with Christ. Let Him reveal to you right now what it is that you need to know. So, okay, another thing. Okay, I'll cut through the rest of this quick. As you're walking this path with Him, Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 and verse 8 says, "And a highway of holiness shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein." Okay. Our Jesus again is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He's also, His instructions, be ye holy even as I am holy. Not rules and regulations. Holiness is the deliberate decision to also to condition and to put your life in a position where you can hear His voice, where you can remain in a place where your connection with God is clean. See, if you live your life by the law, it doesn't do anything to take away the desire for the very stuff that the law forbids you to have. So it's like, if you say, all right, you know, I won't do this, then it's like, but you still want this, whatever this is. You're just restraining yourself to say, okay, I won't. What the way, so rather than you still wanting something, it's better to have in yourself something in you that you desire more than that, and that being the power that chooses a different direction, because there's something that's more important to you than that thing that you just feel like you gotta have. So God's solution for that was Mark 12, where Mark 12 and verse 30, He said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Okay. "And the second is like it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these." Okay. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. When you love, I got to read the first part of this. The first of all the commandments is, "Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Okay, so one Lord, one God, love Him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, every aspect of your being. Let the love of God flow into you so you can reciprocate that back to Him. And love Him with everything that you are. And out of that love, your desire is to be in connection with Him. You don't want to hurt Him. You don't want to displease Him. You don't want to do anything to harm the heart of the one that you love. And so what happens is, but see, so with the difference between holiness versus the law is what happens is if you start to stray in some way, the Spirit of God will quicken you and will show you, because again, you do have the love for Him, He'll quicken you and show you, look, you need to adjust your life in this way, because right now this is not, you want to stay on this highway of holiness, you want to stay on this path that I have for you. Adjust your life and make change so that you can remain on the way with Him, so that you don't get deceived and go off on some side road that will lead you in some place where now you're struggling and you're trapped and you're ensnared by, again, the world and the world system that's seeking to do that to you. He will correct you. When He does, obey quickly, because again, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obey quickly and make the adjustments necessary and keep going with Him. And also, you know, just you know, cut yourself some slack and keep going. Now the world won't, I mean, it's like the world will always seek to just get at you somehow. When you have to adjust and move with Him. One step, two steps, sit and pray. Go to Jerusalem. 500 people were told to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise, and 120 people were the ones that actually were there. Here's the resurrected Christ telling you, you know, but even then there was the wall of human limitation. It wasn't until after Pentecost, until the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Peter became a new person. That's when all of a sudden it's like, this is a different guy. This is a different person. Okay, close out with a couple more statements here. God's plan for you requires removing self-importance. To realize that your life is in service also to the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, not the religious system of the world, not the organization of the church. I have to make the distinction because they're not the same thing. Your life will be, God will use you on behalf of the body. The head will instruct you for what it is that other members in the body need. And other members in the body of Christ will receive instruction from the head how to strengthen and encourage you. You will pray for one another. You will support one another. You will be there for it. God will use you for the sake of the body. And together you will carry out the plan and purpose that God has designed. So you'll be fulfilling the large vision for the body of Christ at large, while also fulfilling God's individual plan and destiny for you. And I had somebody tell me one thing one time. He said, "Govinda, other people's destinies are wrapped up in you fulfilling yours." And it struck me, because, you know, before that I was like, you know, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, it's my life, whatever. You know, I feel like checking out and just doing whatever over here. And it was like, and then the realization that, wait a second, I'm not independent as such. I am part of the body of Christ, and what I do when I'm walking with the Father affects the rest of the body. It strengthens the rest of the body. It does something for the rest of the body, and likewise them fulfilling their plan and destiny, and God's plan and purpose for them has a positive impact on me, strengthens me, enables me to go on for longer. enables me to carry on and in God's plan and purpose. So I'm also blessed and strengthened and encouraged by somebody else in the body of Christ doing what it is that they do. You know, even if it's something small, even if it's just, I mean, like I was this friend of mine from the States sent me, I've never met this lady, but she knows me through another friend, sent me this package of books. Such a blessing to me. I mean, just ministered to me. Just that somebody would go to that much effort to do something like that for me, to just send me some books that she thought were
in.
Yeah. And it's just like, wow. So we're going a little bit late tonight, but you can read this one at home when you get the time. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 27, that's just speaking about the body and our interconnected relationship with each other, with one another. So as you fulfill God's plan and purpose for you, your life will bless, strengthen, build up, strengthen one another. God life flows through you also into the lives of others. Ultimately, all of us receive from the head, who is Christ, our direction, our leading and guiding. And we, as we stay true to that, that will bless the lives of other people. And will bless the lives of His true servants. Will tear down the spiritual darkness and oppression. And will shine the light and just scatter it all. So we come through right now the adversity as well as that we face also on behalf of others. And that was the second part of Jesus when he said the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. We do it out of love for somebody else. So we get our eyes off of my difficult situation and say, okay, for the sake of my brother or my sister in Christ, I will go through what God has for me to go through so that they can receive what it is that God has for them. That's, Jesus did that for us. He stopped, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about us. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And the joy set before him was an eternity with us. Had he not done that, there would have been no way for us. So, embrace God's plan and purpose for your life. Let him reveal it. He'll reveal it to you piece by piece. He'll also give you some things that encourage you, that give you also a vision for down the line as well. It's all his. He's the one that does it. He works it out. His time, his plan, his purpose, his way. And you find it as you just keep going each day with Christ. It's God, your plan, not mine, every day.
This is the story, my shoes in. This fault is glory, my bruising. If it's my pain, he can use it. You could use me if you choose. This is the story, my shoes in. This fault is glory, my bruising. If it's my pain, he can use it.
So I dance this dance, the cliffhanger hustle, religious they want to tussle, the industry try to muscle me out of the whole market, so I become a target, a man's